I'm going to start with this RNZAF flight rescue mission down to Antarctica. And Sarah Robson, RNZ news reporter, is with us in the studio with the details. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Karen.
So what happened? It was an accident, as I said, that must have happened over a week ago because they just couldn't get there.
That's right. So what we know is that this person who is a member of the United States Antarctic program, we don't know much about their injury other than that it was non-life-threatening. So we know that the Air Force has been on standby since last Saturday, waiting for a break in the weather to get down there to medevac this person out of Antarctica.
So the screaming down there, the weather, so it really must have been bad. I know the Air Force underplay it, don't they? They say it was bad weather.
They often can, but the other aspect to this is it is the middle of winter in Antarctica. It is dark 24/7. So this isn't something that's an easy mission, and the Air Force says this isn't something they do particularly frequently. We've heard from the navigator on the Hercules flight in an interview supplied by the Defence Force. This is something they might do once every 5 to 10 years. So this is a really difficult operation for the Air Force to kind of get underway, not to mention the complexities of the weather down on the ice.
What did the navigator have to say?
Yeah, now he was talking about how for this flight they've used night vision goggles for the first time. They've been doing a fair bit of training with night vision goggles but never actually put it into practice. So this allowed them, obviously it's pitch black when they're trying to land a huge plane on an ice runway in the dark. It is lit up with some lights that the guys at McMurdo Station were able to put out. But this is a fairly tricky operation. But those night vision goggles were able to assist them with that. Of course, the weather was the big factor here, and there is a point of safe return that obviously the crew on board the flight have to make a call and know that the weather is going to be okay when they get to down to Antarctica, because there are no other airfields to divert to, and once they pass that point, they obviously will not have enough fuel to get back to New Zealand. So there's a lot of different factors here for the crew on these Hercules flights down to the ice.
So they left last night at 10, around 10
yeah,
o'clock?
Just before 10:30 last night, and got back to Christchurch at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So a huge mission for the crew on board the Herc.
Gosh, that person who had the injury must have been standing by desperate for them to get there, waiting for the cavalry.
Yeah, that's right. And as we said before, you know, they've been waiting for a week for a break in the weather to try and launch this rescue mission. And now the person from the US Antarctic Program is back in Christchurch and is receiving medical treatment. So a fairly long wait if you do find yourself in trouble in the middle of the winter season down in Antarctica.
Sarah, why didn't the Americans medevac their person out? Why does the RNZAF come to the rescue?
So New Zealand and the United States have a lot of cooperation down in Antarctica. There's a lot of, use of each other's assets and programs between Scott Base and McMurdo Station. But at the moment, because it is the winter season down there, there's not as many people down on the ice. And because as well of COVID, you know, stations haven't had as many personnel there even during summer. So at the moment, there is no US plane based in New Zealand to support the Antarctic program. And obviously things have been scaled back with COVID. But in a couple of other comments from the US Defence Attaché and the US Acting Ambassador, they've said that there's always been a huge amount of cooperation between New Zealand and the United States when it comes to those Antarctic programs. So it's kind of, it doesn't matter which country it is that goes down and rescues someone, as long as someone goes and gets the job done.
Heck yeah. I've seen the pictures too. They've got an ambulance down there.
These stations are huge operations. I would love to go down there and see what it's like. But, and particularly for the winter season, where, of course, people are down there for a good long amount of time, they are very well set up.
How many went down from our Air Force?
So the crew that were on board the Hercules, it was a crew of 13, and including two NZDF medical personnel who were able to assist with the medical evacuation there.
And they would have flown through the night through the southern aurora. It would have been quite spectacular.
If you could see out the windows of the Hercules, I imagine the guys up at the front would have had a fairly good view. I know that there's plenty of windows at the front of that plane. It was potentially an incredibly spectacular flight. However, if you're down the back in the guts of a Hercules, there is not a lot to see.
Right, of course. They're quite big, aren't they, in the back? They're huge.
They are a vast expanse in the back of a Herc.
You've been in one before, I believe.
I was very lucky when I was working elsewhere to go in a Hercules to Fiji once for a trip, and they're not exactly comfortable. You're sort of in a sling kind of netted seat. It's horribly noisy. They do give you earplugs, but it's not exactly a comfortable flight, and let's just say the toilet facilities are nothing fancy.
Oh, is it a port-a-loo type thing,
is it?
It's a bucket type situation, really?
With a curtain.
Oh, yeah, at least you've got a curtain. That's quite good. They're quite old, though, our Hercules, aren't they? I noticed that on this press release from the RNZAF, they say that the C-130 fleet, the flying hours on this particular plane?
They have clocked up across the fleet 150,000 flying hours. Now, these planes are quite old, and they are in line for replacement as part of the government's refresh of the Defence Force assets.
So a really big, not big for the Defence Force. I mean, they go on these rescue missions all the time, but this one was particularly challenging.
Yeah, this one is particularly challenging. As I mentioned earlier, this is something that only happens once every 5 to 10 years. This is not a run-of-the-mill mission for the 40 squadron who fly those Hercules. And, you know, as we said before, this is a complex, complex mission. Weather, dark, so many other factors at play that really mean that these guys need to make sure that they have got all the information and they're extremely well trained to be able to deal with anything that might crop up. And as well, it's worth mentioning, because obviously it's extremely cold down there, just to give you a sense of how they have to deal with these sorts of issues, they actually kept the engines on the plane running while they refueled at McMurdo Station, so they didn't have to shut them off, risk the plane getting cold, and then having to reboot it from a very chilly temperature.
Well, exciting stuff, but really, as I say, I would have been so delighted that when they arrived in Antarctica to get me, I'd have to say. So congratulations to everyone involved. Good on them. And thank you very much for telling us about it. That's reporter Sarah Robson.